We've been teaching through the book of Genesis. But today I have a question for you. You have giants in your life. I mean giant worries. What's the largest worry, the largest challenge that you have in life? For some of us, it's our bodies. For some of us, it may be children or family that doesn't come to visit us anymore. For some of us, it may be financial problems. But those giants in our life can make us anxious, can make us regretful, can make us fearful. And God doesn't want us to worry, to be anxious. He wants us to have peace in Him. And we read about giants in the book of Genesis. We've been in chapter 6, right before the flood, right before Noah's flood. And I want to read you a piece of this. In chapter 6, it begins, "When human beings began to increase in number on the earth, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of humans were beautiful, and they married any of them that they chose." Now, the sons of God, there's a lot of commentators that have lots of different opinions on it, but when I look at the Hebrew in it, the sons of God means the angels that fell with Satan, as we read about in Revelation chapter 12, where Satan rebelled against God because of his pride, and he was kicked out of heaven, and he took one third of the angels with him. So now on the earth right now, in the time of Noah's flood, and one of the primary reasons for Noah's flood, as we'll read about in a second, was these sons of God who married the daughters of men. And the offspring of that union, that incredibly evil union, turned into what is referred to in the Bible as Nephilim. Let me read you verse 4. "The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward." That means after the flood, they were still there. And we'll take a look at that in a minute. These are fearful giants. They are what's referred to a little bit further after the flood. We read about Cush, who was one of Noah's sons. "Cush was the father of Nimrod, who became a mighty warrior on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. And that is why it is said, Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The first centers of his kingdom were Babylon, etc., in the land of Shinar." Now, I want you to understand clearly that this phrase, "he was a mighty hunter before the Lord," meant it was, he was a hunter against the Lord. And he founded a number of cities. Nineveh was one of them. Excuse me. And Nineveh, if you recall the book of
Jonah,
thank you very much. If you recall Jonah, he was asked by God to go and prophesy repentance and preach repentance to the people of Nineveh. And Job said, "No, I don't want to do that. They're evil people and I don't like them."
That was a whale dude, right?
Yeah, that was the whale dude. So he ran away, and God captured him inside of a giant fish, which we all assume, and the tale goes, a whale. I'm sure you've all heard the story of Jonah and the whale. And so finally he gets spit out on the beach by Nineveh, and he begrudgingly goes to Nineveh and preaches repentance. And to Jonah's utter disappointment, they repent in sackcloth and ashes, and God doesn't destroy the city. So Nineveh was a very evil place before Jonah went to share God's word there, and they repented and they were saved. But that didn't make Jonah very happy. He was disappointed, and he sat outside the city and sulked when they were repented. And people probably walked by him and said, the kids said, "Who's that sulking over there?" And the people of Nineveh said, "Oh, that's the pastor. He's very disappointed that we were saved."
Pretty much.
But the other city that Nimrod started was Babylon. And what have we heard about Babylon? Well, number one, it's where this conquers Judah and the southern kingdom, which is Benjamin and the tribe of Judah. It conquers them and carries them off into captivity and exile in Babylon. Nimrod was a very evil man, and he started evil cities. And he was, we believe, it doesn't specifically say this in the Bible. Let me be clear that I'm giving you an educated opinion. Nimrod was a Nephilim. He was the result of a union between the sons of God and the daughters of men. Now, these giants continued on the earth for some time. As a matter of fact, after Moses brought the people of Israel from Egypt to the border of the Promised Land, it only took 40 days. And then after 40 days, Moses sent 10 spies into the city, into the land of Canaan. And they came back in Numbers 13:26, we read, "They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. They reported to them, to the whole assembly, and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account: 'We went into the land you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit. But the people who live there are powerful. The cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there.'" Now, Anak is the father of the Amalekites, and the Amalekites, Anak was a Nephilim. And we can read a lot about him. "The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live along the sea." Then Caleb silenced the people. He was one of the, there was 10 spies. Two of them said, "We should go conquer them because God is on our side." Caleb said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there were of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim." It says that in the Bible. So even after the flood, some of these creatures somehow survived, or the sons of God remarried the new daughters of men, and we have Nephilim on the earth. Now, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. So, non-biblical sources report that through archaeological evidence that these creatures were like, I'm sorry, not archaeological evidence. I don't know of any archaeological evidence about the Nephilim, but other writings of the time that are not biblical but are just ancient historical documents say these creatures were like 30 feet high. And sometimes the giants in our lives look like they're 30 feet high. And how can we ever overcome this giant of loneliness or this giant of separation or this giant pile of debt or this giant anything in our lives? But we remember that little bitty David, who was a shepherd boy, who was really good with a sling, killed Goliath, who was a Nephilim. And it was David's faith in God that allowed him to kill that giant that 8 of the 10 spies sent into the land to scout it out for Moses said was too dangerous because of the giants. And because of their loss of faith that God was with them, even though they had seen all these miracles, they had a pillar of fire during the night, and they had all of these miracles happen. The Red Sea parted. They were the 10 plagues that got them out of Egypt. After all that, in only 40 days, they lost their faith. I believe that once you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are saved no matter what you do. If you have truly done that in your heart and agreed to become a bondservant of Jesus Christ, then no matter what you do for the rest of your life, you're saved, even if as one escaping from the fire. But at least you'll escape from the fire. You won't go to hell. But you can live your whole life in fear or anxiousness about the giants that you have to face. Now, if we take the story of David and Goliath, which I'm not going to repeat here, but just to give you a quick summary of it, the whole Israel, all 10 tribes, were at war with the Philistines, the Amalekites, and all this. And the Amalekites, of course, had Nephilim. One of the Nephilim was Goliath. And he used to walk out on the field between Israel and their enemies and challenge anyone to come fight him. And if this dude was 30 feet high, and he had a sword bigger than a man, who was going to go out there and fight him? He was too big and scary. We can't do it. So that went on for a long time, weeks. And then finally, little David, who was blessed by God, who was a man after God's own heart, sees what's going on. He's given the mission by his father to go take food to the front lines, and he sees that giant out there, and he says, why doesn't somebody go kill him? And they say, we can't, he's too big. We don't have anybody that can fight that monster. And David says, I'll do it. And they laugh. Whoa, you can't do that. But you know what? He was small. He was a grasshopper in the eyes of that giant. But he had God on his side. And he had faith on his side. And he walked out there, and Goliath probably laughed. David whipped up his sling. Whap-boom! Right between the eyes. And knocked him out cold. And then David walked up to him. And it probably took all his strength, but he picked up Goliath's sword and chopped off his head. And then the armies of the Israelites came down and they conquered those enemies of God. The enemies of your heart are also the enemies of God, no matter what they are. The giants in your life can be slain through faith in the Lord God. Just like David could kill that giant with his sling, you can kill your giants with faith in Jesus Christ. So Lord God, we come before you today to thank you, Father God, for the blood of your Son hanging on that cross, that shed his blood to pay for our sins. All the sins we've committed and those we've yet to commit, because Lord God, we're still in these fleshly bodies and we can't help but continue to sin. And as we continue to walk with you, what appears to be sin, our eyes are opened more and more and we can see more and more of our sin, Lord, and we need your forgiveness and your grace every day. And Father, we thank you that we have that. And so we close now worshiping your name, Lord God, in thankfulness and in humbleness. We can come before you and with the words that our Savior gave us, pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Thank you all for being here. May God bless you and keep you, shine his face upon you, be gracious to you, turn his face towards you, and give you peace.
Thank you.
Until we gather again on Palm Sunday next week. Have a great week and be with the Lord every day, every morning when you wake up, during the day. Pray and you'll restore your faith.